Good morning, everyone. It's always such a blessing to be here together and bring our praise and worship to God. But before we turn to his word, could we just pray a moment? Father, we come before you, your people seeking your word to us this morning. As individuals and as your church, Father, we're aware that we're not always what you would wish us to be. So we ask your forgiveness. We also bring our thanks to you, Lord, for all you have done for us, for your goodness to us and for our Saviour, Jesus. We ask that you would speak clearly to us this morning, Lord, and minister to each one of us at our exact point of need. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen. Mountains figure quite largely in two of today's lectionary readings. In Exodus 24, 12 to 18, Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time. Has anybody seen the news recently about a pastor somewhere in the world who was trying to do a 40-day fast, and he's lost his life? I just found that really sad. So 40 days and 40 nights, long time. But there he encountered the glory of God. I wondered if perhaps Margaret would read us the Exodus scripture. It'll be on the screen.
Exodus 24, 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his assistant, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go with them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.
Thanks, Margaret. In Matthew 17, 1 to 9, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him up a high mountain where they witnessed the glory of God through Jesus' transfiguration. God even spoke to them about his son Jesus. And Peter himself refers to this in 2 Peter 1:18, when he says, "He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And in Psalm 99, which Joe read for us earlier, it says in verses 6 and 7, Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. All the lectionary readings for today speak of the glory of God. The mountains, the pillars of cloud, the consuming fire, and the voice. Our other lectionary reading for today is Matthew 17, 1 to 9, and perhaps Kevin would read that for us.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Thanks, Kevin. This passage only mentions a high mountain. It is not identified, although it seems likely to have been Mount Hermon. Of course, whichever mountain it was is perhaps interesting, but not really important. It is what happened there that is of significance. The transfiguration. Transfiguration basically means a change of form or appearance. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him. But why these three and not others from amongst the disciples? Perhaps they were three of the very first men called by Jesus to follow him. They appear to be the core disciples. So they were with Jesus at his highest and his lowest moments. They were perhaps his closest friends. In addition to the occasion in today's reading, they often accompanied Jesus at significant events. For instance, they were with Jesus at the raising of Jairus' daughter and when he was at prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Also, Jesus would know that in the future, these three men were to become leaders of the early church, and the privilege of witnessing his transfiguration would be a deep spiritual experience which would strengthen their faith for the future. It was a powerful demonstration of God's mighty hand at work. Of course, human nature being what it is, the fact that Jesus chose only Peter, James, and John to accompany him and witness his transfiguration may have been the reason which led to the discussion about which of the disciples was the greatest, as told in Luke 9. Perhaps you've seen the film Gorillas in the Mist. It tells the story of zoologist Dan Fossey, who left her home in California to live on the sides of a 14,000-foot-tall, rain-shrouded volcano, to live among the mountain gorillas of Rwanda, who were threatened by extinction due to poaching. To be accepted by them, she learned to act like a gorilla. She said, "I learned to scratch and groom and beat my chest. I imitated my subjects' vocalizations, hoots, grunts, and burps, munched the foliage they ate, kept low to the ground, and deliberate in movement." She named them all, cradled their babies, and cried with them when they mourned their dead. After 18 years with them, she became like them. They were her friends, and she bravely defended them when they were faced with danger. In the early hours of the 27th of December, 1985, she was murdered, apparently by poachers. She died for those she came to live among and to save. Over 2,000 years ago, Christ left the comforts of his home for the fog-shrouded volcano of Earth. He identified with us, learned our names, wept with us, and he too died for those he came to live among and to save. Peter, James, and John witnessed Jesus' transfiguration. As a commentator puts it, the glory of God's kingdom shining out of Jesus. And this was intended to increase their faith in preparation for the suffering soon to be endured by Jesus at Calvary. But what can we learn from this event? The transfiguration was a very special spiritual event which Peter, James, and John were privileged to witness. As I mentioned, it was intended to increase their faith in preparation for challenging events that would follow for Jesus and for themselves. One Bible commentary puts it this way: some of those who were with Jesus then saw Jesus' kingly glory. The whole story is told from the disciples' point of view as primarily a revelation to them of who Jesus really is. As such, it forms an important counterbalance to the depressing announcements of Matthew 16:21, Jesus' future suffering. Beyond death lies glory, and already the three disciples are privileged to see the curtain temporarily drawn aside. There are a number of things we can learn from this. One is to do with Jesus' changed appearance. As I said earlier, all of today's lectionary readings speak of the glory of God. The mountains, the pillars of cloud, the fire, the voices, faces shining. In Matthew 17:2, it says, Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. In Exodus 34:30, after meeting with God on the mountain, Moses' face was shining. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. So Moses covered his face when he was with the people. The people's fear when seeing Moses' shining face and the disciples' fear on seeing Jesus' shining face and hearing God's voice illustrate who it is that we worship: the Almighty God. Theophilus of Antioch from the 2nd century AD said, "For in glory he is incomprehensible, in greatness unfathomable, in height inconceivable, in power incomparable, in wisdom unrivaled, in goodness inimitable, in kindness unutterable." This is who we worship. Yet wonderfully, this Almighty God is also our living Father. Another point is that God affirms Jesus as his Son. In Matthew 17:5, read earlier, it says, "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" We also know that in Matthew 3:17, at Jesus' baptism, it says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" This is our Father God speaking of his beloved only Son, full well knowing all that Jesus would suffer. And yet he sent him for our sakes to rescue us, because we cannot save ourselves. The evidence is surely all around us. God instructed the disciples to listen to him. This sentence really struck me, and I am challenged by it. If God is instructing us to listen, then I feel that I must spend more dedicated time just listening. And also we see that at the Transfiguration, it's linked to Moses and Elijah. But why Moses and Elijah? It occurred to me that Moses in particular is pretty used to meeting with God on a mountain. In his gospel, Luke explains that Moses and Elijah represent the two main parts of the Old Testament: the law, Moses, and the prophet Elijah. And the law and the prophets point towards the Messiah and his sufferings. God's plan all through the Bible is through Jesus to rescue his people. And I find it amazing and astonishing that, quite apart from the complete involvement of the Holy Trinity, that people like Moses and Elijah and many others like them were part and parcel of this plan. A plan that brought about my own rescue, your rescue. And the challenge is, what part can we play in the rescue of others? One or two other things occurred to me from this passage. I found it really touching that when the disciples were terrified and laying face down on the ground, Jesus came and touched them. It seems to me it was a gentle act, so like Jesus. It also struck me that although they had others close by, Moses had Joshua and Jesus had Peter, James and John, Moses and Jesus both met God on their own. And this is how it is for us when we go into our quiet place to meet with our Father. I also noticed that Moses and Jesus had folk they trusted. Moses trusted Aaron and Hur to deputize for him while he was meeting with God on Mount Sinai. And Jesus trusted Peter, James, and John to keep to themselves what had happened at the Transfiguration. As one commentator puts it, ill-considered reports of this spectacular event could have brought about many unfortunate consequences. For myself, I pray that God can count on me to be trustworthy. I wonder why Peter wanted to put up shelters for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. There's a suggestion it's because he just wanted to prolong this wonderful experience. However, it was a fleeting moment, not meant to be long-lasting. Have you ever had a mountaintop experience? A special, sometimes fleeting experience of God's love and favor and grace, when everything is going perfectly and we feel God especially close to us. We feel blessed. It's almost impossible to describe. They give us momentary glimpses of heavenly joy, which encourage us and strengthen our faith. However, each person's experience is different and unique. If you have yet to experience this, you will recognize it. Look forward to it. And whenever it happens for you, write it down to remember as an encouragement when things are not quite so mountaintop. However, as Moses descended from Mount Sinai and Jesus and the disciples descended from Mount Hermon, so we also descend from the mountaintop and into the valley below. And in the valley, we're likely to experience difficulties and challenges, bad times and sad times. A little girl was once late coming home from play. When her mother asked her where she'd been, she explained that her friend had fallen and broken her very special doll. And said the little girl, "I stayed to help her." "How did you help her?" asked her mother. "I just sat down and helped her cry." In 2002, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Perhaps it should have scared me, but it didn't, because God was right there beside me in a way I had never experienced before. He provided all I needed, when I needed it, and blessed me during that time in unexpected ways. When hard times hit again, not only do I remember the good times, the mountaintop times, but I also remember the difficult times, the valleys, both a testament of God's caring for us. So when we land back in the valley, remember the mountaintop experience. When we are dealing with problems and difficulties, remember all of God's goodness and that He has our well-being on His fatherly heart. He has helped you through challenging times before, and He'll do so again. The bad times will pass. And while we're waiting for them to pass, dwell on the glory of God. Honor Him. Praise and worship Him. Joe spoke 2 weeks ago about praising God at all times. Also, keep walking through the valley, drawing close to the Good Shepherd, who Jim spoke about recently. Last week, Stuart spoke of us growing spiritually, to concentrate on God and things of God. Coming through trials and still trusting God confirms a real and growing faith. But God would encourage us as well. And I'll close with Isaiah 43:1-3, which says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep valleys, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown, for I am the Lord your God." Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and all that it tells us of you. We worship your glory. We are thankful for the love of a precious Saviour, and we are grateful that we are never alone when facing challenges. We ask that you help us to always remember these things. Help us, when on the mountaintop, to take it all in and so enable us to draw on it during more difficult times. We also ask, Lord, that you would prompt us to draw alongside others when we recognize they are dealing with difficulties and troubles. We thank you for today's scriptures, showing a glimpse of heavenly joy to encourage us and strengthen our faith. Help us to put this encouragement and strengthened faith to work for you and your kingdom during this coming week. Father, thank you for always being with us, and we ask that you continue to bless, protect, and inspire us. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.